When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
I'm getting some tweets that said Grasso was brutal on Stump Rothenberg last week. Is that accurate?
It was not our finest showing. It's tough shoes to fill.
Josh Hartburner tweets, and I'm patiently waiting for a real Stump Rothenberg segment. Last week was a travesty. Gross is a hack. He asked for a hint on every single question. It was embarrassing. Dave, we need a superstar showing out of you tomorrow. Please bring the noise.
In fairness, though, it was...
Were they very difficult questions?
Not difficult questions. They were hard questions, but it was kind of positioned as a Grasso and friends, Stump Rothenberg.
Well, no, that's fine. It didn't seem like a lot of answers were correctly given.
We got a couple.
Oh, did you?
I think he did good in the five pack.
Okay.
I think. I don't remember.
You can't remember that at all.
It was a blur. I was having so much fun. It's just, you know what happens.
You guys didn't do Grasso Us on the show, did you?
RJ wanted to.
Uh-huh.
He said no.
That could have been.
Dan poo-pooed it.
He poo-pooed Grasso
Us?
Yes. Why?
I don't know.
That's a good segment.
RJ, was a Wednesday you wanted to put that in, right?
Yeah, he said it wasn't the right setting. Maybe he doesn't trust us with it. So that's a segment that Dan does on his show.
That's very
good.
So
he can murder the Thursday Open, but we can't try Grasso.
Pill for Grasso Us.
Yeah.
He clearly viewed us as a liability. It's something he does on his show. I was like, you know what? Let's give it a test run. And he said no.
Did you continue to pepper him with let's do it or once and that was it?
No, I mean, it's something that Dan runs through some of his favorite stories. I said, no, I think you can drive it. We'll do it in place of Stump Rothenberg. And he said, no, I just don't think this is the right setting.
Wow.
So I can only take that as we couldn't be trusted.
Yeah, that's a statement on you guys, really.
Yeah, or he didn't want to replace Stump Rothenberg, but I don't think that was ever the intention anyway, though.
No, you're not going to replace it. I think you should have done it in addition to Stump Rothenberg.
I think it would have been nice.
So how involved were you in the women's Elite Eight last night?
I was involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't hear this. I guess Rebecca Lobo took a shot at Albany, though.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. And people were very, very upset by that.
Well, a couple things happened last night. That, and then on top of that, there were a lot of people that were upset that LSU wasn't out there for the national anthem.
That was a big deal. But Iowa was.
Iowa was. But I guess that LSU hasn't been out for the national anthem.
So that's their anyway. Thing? Now, is that a statement? Or is that just they're
no,
not out
Kim
there?
No, Kim Mulkey said that it wasn't intentional. They have their pregame routine that they do, and she didn't even realize that they were...
I'll tell you what, man. We talked about this yesterday. Of all men's and women's college basketball players, who's the most dynamic, most exciting? It's not close. UConn has some great players. Tristan Newton is terrific. Spencer's a really nice player. Klingon is really good. But Caitlin Clark is just, different.
But I think that, and that's probably one of the reasons why, I know you love the tournament, but I think it's probably one of the reasons why we haven't spent more time talking about it. Because as good as UConn is, there isn't one player on UConn that really has captured. Like, I think there's more people that are interested in what DJ Burns is doing. It's kind of like UConn ho-hum, we're winning by 30 every game, and it's all about the team.
But yeah, yes, but
there's not
they,
one player
they,
on that team that kind of stands out.
If they had a Caitlin Clark, if
it'd be
they
a
had,
huge deal.
That would be a huge deal.
But that's my point, though. It's more about their team and how good their team is. It isn't about they don't have real like. The coach is the face of that team.
Yes. I mean, if I said to you right now, and it changes every game. Like, there's games Tristan Newton is unbelievable. I mean, he's had triple-doubles numerous times this year. Klingon the other day against, who'd they play the other day?
Illinois.
Illinois was awesome. They couldn't do anything when he was in the game.
He was as the primary defender. They were 0-for-19 against them.
Yeah. So it's just, but there's not that, you don't tune in to watch a player. For Iowa, you tune in to watch. She is dynamic. She is special. What, she scored 43 last night?
41 last night.
She's awesome.
She played all 40 minutes. She had 41, nine threes.
Unless I had seen
and 12 assists.
She was not only did she have 9 threes, I think she was 9 of 18 from 3.
I ended up 9 of 20, yep.
So
12 assists.
I mean, you're hitting 50% of your threes?
And these aren't just, I mean, you're run-of-the-mill.
But these are Steph Curry range threes.
That's who she reminds you of.
Yes.
Okay, but the other thing, too, I think, is that just people are just naturally attracted to
greatness.
This level of greatness. Like, she's done things in her college career that, like, she's setting records that people didn't think would be broken. Like, not only is she the leading scorer in the history of women's basketball, she's the leading scorer in the history of college basketball.
Right. And then you'll get into the debate of, well, Pistol Pete played for 3 years, and there was no three-point line, all those things. Whatever. I mean,
well, you're also talking about a guy who averaged, what, 44 a game?
Right. I mean, that's insane.
That's crazy.
And I think I had seen something that said if they had a three-point line, he would average, like, 57 points a game, which, with no shot clock.
It's wild.
Right? That was no shot clock era for him. She has a shot clock, but all that, she's awesome.
She's awesome.
And it is wonderful to watch her. And I'll tell you what, last night, I made sure that I had that game on.
Like, well, I wanted why to we watch talked that about game. It. I mean, it wasn't just, hey, you know, guys, you know, this is going to be on ESPN, we should talk about it. No, it's, I mean, we've been paying attention to what Caitlin Clark has been doing for the last couple of years. Like, there was a lot of people that said, hey, we can't wait till, you know, she turns pro so we can watch her go up against Steph Curry in the All-Star game.
See, I don't know if you feel like this. For some reason, I'm not sure why, the allure of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA is not the same as it is for me in the college game. I don't know why that is, but I just don't have that same... It makes no sense, really. Like, she's the same player.
She's the same player, but I think it just... I think what drew everyone in this year was just the chase for the record. Right? Like, you don't want to be a person that missed out watching her chase down this record. The thing I like about her the most, and she was talking about this after the game last night, is she has been in the spotlight for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, heartbreaking loss. The whole LSU thing happens. You know, Angel Reese, them going back and forth. Both, I mean, some of the best trash talkers in college basketball. And you had that whole thing happen. They lose by 17. It's heartbreaking, right? Now, all eyes on her. You know, how does she respond to the disappointment of last season? Comes out, sets the record, the way she set the record. Like, there are certain athletes, and she was saying what she's most proud of is that she actually had fun with the weight of the world kind of on her shoulders. She carries this team, man. She takes this team on her back, and to be able to handle that kind of pressure, there are certain athletes that you watch that you feel like don't ever disappoint you. Like, even the way she set the record, she's like, as if you thought I was going to have a logo three to set the record. Like, it's one thing to think that going into something and then be able to go out there and actually do it under the kind of pressure that she's under. Last night, same thing. Like, I think there were a lot of people that thought just the LSU was a better team. Like, is Caitlin Clark with the size and physicality of LSU going to be able to carry her team to another Final Four? Not only does she scores 41 last night.
That's awesome.
Like, in the biggest moment, she's at her best. Like, when I used to watch Tiger, it's just what naturally drew me to Tiger. He always rises up to the challenge. Like, he doesn't let you down.
There's greatness there. And I think we are brought in and swayed and want greatness, right? Like, I think that's what, as a society, that's what we want. We want to see the best of the best. Now, I guess if I said to you right now, who's the men's player who's the most enticing for you? I think I'd go Zach Edey. Just because he's, like, people are not typically 7'4". And what he does is remarkable. But who's more exciting to watch? I think it's Caitlin Clark over Zach Edey.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think that's a question. I get more excited to watch Juju Watkins play than I do.
She's good, too. She's out, though. By the way, let's do a little tournament update brought to you by Schweppes. So we've talked about Iowa, Caitlin Clark, 41, the whole bit. They move on to the Final Four. They're going to play UConn in the Final Four. That's Friday.
That's
after Paige Beckers. I mean, she's good, too. Led the number 3-seeded Huskies into the Final Four with an 80-73 win over top-seeded USC. Becker scored a game-high 28 to go along with 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks to send the Huskies to a 23rd Final Four appearance. Now, mind you, I don't even know that they started keeping records for women's college basketball till like the 70s. So the fact that UConn is going to their 23rd Final Four, Gino Auriemma has produced...
He's done an amazing job.
I mean, just an incredible, incredible
and
program.
Paige has dealt with a lot, with injuries and everything else.
Yeah, it's nice to see her succeed. Yep. She's terrific, too.
You know what the other thing, too, about this whole Caitlin Clark thing is? It's just like, I mean, and maybe I have a different respect for it just because I've kind of, you know, been through just all the work and ups and downs and everything it takes to kind of get to, you know, to a certain level, but not ever to this level. But just think about like what that LSU pregame meeting probably was like, or like as you prepare for Iowa, like you know that it's, hey, if we eliminate Caitlin Clark,
right,
we'll win. But every team goes in.
You can't.
Right, but that's what makes it even more impressive is every single team they play against goes, if we cut off the head of the snake, if we eliminate her, we will win.
So this is a funny story. So I was in Raleigh, which is huge college basketball, and Steph Curry at Davidson was unstoppable. Do you remember, RJ, you might remember this story. And the coach of Loyola, Maryland, was, I think his name is Jimmy Patsos or something. So
Palmetto?
No, it wasn't Palmetto. So he decided to put four guys on Steph Curry. Four guys. I think Steph Curry maybe didn't score, maybe had 2 points. His team lost by like 65 because they weren't guarding anybody else. Do you remember that, RJ?
Yeah, it was like the reverse box in one.
He put four guys on one. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. We had a game plan where we had one of our defensemen shadow Yager one time. It didn't...
Didn't go well. By the way, all the update was presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above the rim refreshment and is a proud sponsor of the Big East Conference. Enjoy the madness and take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale. 1-800-919-3776. This is interesting and strange. Ira in Staten Island is on the line. Does not want to talk Jets.
Wow.
Yeah. You ready for this?
I guess.
All right. Let's see how good he is in the other topics. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking a call. And you know, it's amazing. I haven't watched a basketball game in maybe 25 or 30 years. And we're all listening to you and Michael and, you know, listen to the shows about this girl from Iowa. I had to put it on last night. And I made it to about 3/4. And I'll tell you the truth. I know Rick is probably before your time. Dave, maybe you might remember him, or, you know, when he played. I don't know if you were born yet. Pete Maravich. Her ball skills, her handle. I mean, forget about her shooting, which is absolutely off the charts. But the vision on the court and her passing, I thought I was watching Pistol Pete Maravich.
She's awesome. I mean, she's like, and thanks to the call, Ira, she's like the female version of Pistol Pete. She's awesome. Her ball handling is sensational. Her passing is phenomenal. She can pull up and shoot from anywhere. I remember like the tail end, like the mediocre Pistol Pete. I don't remember the prime time. Like I remember him on the Celtics. He was very, very average and kind of a role player. But he was unstoppable. And he was never on good teams. He never played in games like this. Like the games he played in were regular season games. I don't think they ever made the NCAA tournament with Pistol Pete.
It was Cassie's dad's favorite basketball player growing
Pistol
up.
Pete. Pistol Pete,
yeah. Loved him.
They did a movie on him.
I never saw it.
Yeah. It wasn't like a huge release. It was a small kind of made-for-TV movie, but about how his dad, Press Maravich, who was a coach at NC State, like he turned him in. He was like the Marinovich's father. Like you go out there and you're going to practice for 5 hours and you're going to do, like he groomed him to be this kind of player.
Which I think is, listen, I mean, if the kid wants to do it, great.
But maybe the kid doesn't know. When you're like 4 or 5 years old, do you know if that's what you want to do?
Probably not, but I think I've experienced some kids that are that age that you just know, like, this is what they want to do.
Yeah.
Like, my Rock was like that. Like, it's all he wants to do.
He loves sports.
Like, anything he does.
But does he want to do sports for hours on end?
All day.
All day, every day.
All day, and he'll dress up.
The same sport consistently.
No, not the same sport. No. We'll play hockey, he'll dress up as, you know, he'll put his hockey jersey on. Then we'll play baseball, he'll put his baseball cleats on. It's all different sports, but there are certain kids like that. If the kid wants to do it and is happy to do it, I always tell parents, if your kid is the one that's
sure,
hey, mom, we got practice, dad, we got practice, great.
But how many kids, I don't know if you have coached these, I've had these kids in the past where it's like, all right, do this. Like they don't want to be there. Why are you here? My parents want me to be here. Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, you're not going to get any benefit out of that. Well, did you watch Jalen Brunson's dad? The way he pushed him.
Right.
And how it's paid off.
Yes, and it's paid off, and that's great. But I think that there's a fine line between, if a kid doesn't want to play, I don't know, man. I have a real problem with that. The movie's The Pistol, The Birth of a Legend is the name of
the
movie.
I would check that out, I think.
It's good.
Just think the amount of, you take it for granted. I do now, not even been away from the game for so long. Just think about like what it was like for her leading up to that game last night, the amount of pressure she was probably feeling.
Tons of pressure.
In her, like, this is it. She's already announced. This is it. I'm done after the season. Trying to get her team back to win. Like, put that final
right.
piece
and there's
of the
really
puzzle.
No place to go from where she was except to win the title. And they were in the national championship
well,
game last year.
Well, to solidify year. Your greatness, right? Like to
but
put the,
but did she need to win to solidify her greatness?
No, but I think in the list of accomplishments, like to go wrong, I mean, to go along with all that personal success, especially because you made it all the way to the national championship game last season, would be, yes, I'm sure she has her sights set on...
Done the whole thing.
Let's win this whole thing.
And
you get, I mean, and on top of
this
get,
is tough
you
for
get
me.
Revenge last night?
Because I like Connecticut, too, and I like Gino Auriemma. I'll root for Caitlin Clark, because, I mean, UConn has been there so many times, but I will tell you this, whoever wins the UConn Iowa game,
good luck against South Carolina.
Is who I'm going to be rooting for in the finals. I know South Carolina is undefeated. Are they like unbeatable though?
Because
I heard they've had some
yeah,
close games this
but they
year.
They found ways to win. I mean,
did they have a game in the SEC tournament which they should have lost and came back mm-hmm. miraculously to win?
Yeah, was that against Tennessee?
Wasn't it the buzzer beater?
It was the buzzer yeah. beater. Was that against Tennessee?
May
were they trailing when they hit the buzzer
they
beater?
They actually let her take the shot. They're like, "There's no way she shoot this." And the coach was like, "Don Staley's like, you get the ball. They're not going to cover you. Shoot it." And she made
it. Of course. But they're 36.
I think the opinion of most people that have watched South Carolina play, if South Carolina plays their best game, it doesn't like their best is better than everyone else's.
Sure. But regardless of that, whoever wins UConn Iowa is going to be who I'm going to be rooting for in the finals. Here is Caitlin Clark saying she wants to go out a winner.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, I want to go out on the right note. I'm going to give it every single thing I got. And, you know, it's hard to be the last team standing. There's 360 teams in Division I basketball, and only one gets to end the season happy. And that's going to be us. That's what we want to do. And you just got to believe it and go out there and earn it. And, you know, but at the same time, we know how hard it is.
I did a little perusing of the spreads last night just to have an idea of what to expect. It's close. I was 3-point favorites over UConn.
How about that, though? Like, all the things that she's accomplished this season – to make her way through the tournament, get revenge for losing and the whole thing, you know, how that whole thing turned out last season in the championship game against LSU, beat UConn,
mm-hmm.
and then beat an undefeated South Carolina team to win the national championship.
And that's so the men's is Saturday, Monday, the women's is Friday, Sunday.
Okay.
So that's nice.
That's real nice.
So Friday's like, you really
there's a lot of sports going on right now.
I find. So it's funny, Sherry's like, can we hang out and watch shows last night or you have sports? Like, Sherry, I got so much stuff. She's like, why do you sound overwhelmed? I said, I am a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, Cash
said,
only last
there's
night,
there's a
too.
Lot going on.
Well, because on top of this, I got this new book I'm reading that I can't put down.
What? I didn't know you like to read.
I love to read.
What book are you reading?
It's called Fourth Wing.
Uh-huh.
So my sister-in-law and I, we used to have like this little...
Is it like a fourth line winger?
No. Oh. We used to have like this little book club.
Uh-huh.
Like she would, because she's got time, so she would find a book, she'd tell me and I would read it and we'd
That's
read the
nice.
Book together. So she's got me reading this book. I can't put this thing down. She's already finished it. She had mentioned that there's going
like
to be...
like a Kelly Kissio kind of book?
No, it's kind of like... It's almost the way I would describe it if like... If Game of Thrones met kind of like the Hunger Games situation.
Oh. So this does not involve hockey whatsoever?
No.
Oh.
No.
So you really have expanded
right.
your horizons.
Right. There's a chance they probably make this into like the series into a movie.
Uh-huh.
But she said, just so you know, didn't know going in that there's a pretty graphic... lovemaking scene.
Oh.
And I was like, come on, it can't be.
But it's in written form, does it?
Very graphic.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the words being used are...
You can't even use them on the radio.
No. No, no.
Really?
Yes.
It's not even romantic. It's just...
This is very lusty.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What's the name of this book?
No, it's going to take you way too many pages to get to it. Yeah, it was actually, I mean, it was a pretty intense.
Really?
Intense scene, yeah. Real intense.
Did you say, hey, Cass?
Thought about it.
I don't think I could be...
I've always wondered what's the point.
I don't think I could be moved by reading smut.
I think maybe if you read this.
Well, you don't read.
Well, you don't read.
No,
right. God forbid. When's Gary Myers on again?
I
don't know when Gary's going to come
on. I don't think Gary Myers writes those kind of books.
No, but the next time Gary calls...
Well, maybe he should.
Have you read it?
Maybe Dave would have read it by now.
So you're sitting here reading like a penthouse forum.
No, it's not penthouse
letters. Your sister-in-law, what do you want to read, Rick? Something... I mean, she really plays to her audience,
she had no idea.
Read this smutty penthouse forum book.
It was...
They'll make it into a movie. They'll put it on the penthouse channel.
Yeah. I'll bring it in so you can read a couple of pages. You'll get worked up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of movie are they going to make with this?
It... I don't think it's going to be like a...
Starring Kobe Ty.
No, I don't think it's that kind of movie, but it's going to have a...
The role of Those Helen are my ladies. Played by Christy Canyons.
It's going to have a very intense love
You scene. Know it was a very erotica book was 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fornication!
Yep. Well, that was the whole point of the book.
Right.
Was he had this special room where he would do real dirty stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So out in the real world, he was just like, hey, how you doing? You want a pimento sandwich? Otherwise, yeah, he's like in Raymond. That room and it's happening.
Well, he was a dom, like he had, he was a dom, like a, the dominant one.
Okay.
And they had submissives. And he would bring the submissives into his.
And that was Dakota Johnson.
Into his locked up room. Uh-huh. And that's when he'd do all sorts of.
Debaucherous stuff.
Yes.
You know who the actress is the daughter
Dakota
of?
Dakota Johnson, yeah.
Yeah. Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they did multiple 50 Shades.
Right.
Yeah. Christian Grey, I believe, is the
There's another one where
name.
It's starring Dong Johnson.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I've seen that. That's nice.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
RJ and I just had a really nice bonding moment in the bathroom.
Oh, you guys went together?
At the urinal, yeah.
It's nice.
He's unbelievable, by the way.
Why? It's that...
No, I didn't... Oh. I didn't really glance over what he was working
that's
with.
What you meant, maybe.
No, that's not what I meant. He starts brewing his coffee, rushes to the bathroom, goes to the bathroom, on the way back, picks up
that's
the
smart.
Coffee. I mean, he wastes no time.
No time.
Talk well, about streamlining
also,
the process.
Right, but he also doesn't like scalding hot coffee. Because usually what he'll leave his beautiful Yeti
open.
Open
so
there,
a little bit.
And then he'll go do the rest of his work, and then he comes back, and that way it's drinkable.
I got an email from Nick S. He says, Dave, Rick, RJ, and Ray, my wife is being induced tomorrow at 7 o'clock for baby number 2. My 4-year-old is hooked and frequently screams, who's the cat now? Woohoo over here, and even, who the hell are you? I'll do my best to call in if my wife is about to give birth to give some behind-the-scenes updates. Not sure she's going to love that, but hey, you got to be a team player. I love the show. Oh, and tell Raymond the Cowboys season will be as fruitful as his love life. Go Rangers. Rick, you suck.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, congratulations on the baby.
Yeah, I don't mind him saying that, though, because that's just like a Ranger.
It's a Ranger Islander thing. Yeah. It feels like the Raymond's, shot at Raymond is somewhat,
it's not nice.
Somewhat nasty. All right, so... Did you see this grade on ESPN.com, the Jets Eagles trade?
I did not.
They gave the Eagles an A and the Jets a C.
C, huh?
Yeah. RJ, do you realize what I'm noticing right now?
I do, and I'm proud.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Tell him what's happening.
Dave, over the last, I'd say what, month?
Yeah. Oh, it's happening.
Has become a big peruser.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps the biggest. of the look-ahead borderline meaningless email that I sent.
Yeah. So really, what we're proving right now, I read the meaningless email ahead of time. Rick did not. Because on the look-ahead, the
or
premature
did,
look-ahead.
Did Rick read the look-ahead and didn't want to spoil what you were going to say?
No.
I would beg to differ, but
really?
However you want to look at it.
Well, no, then you're a genius actor. You're like the Marlon Brando of the show. How is that possible? I just said, did you see the Jets get a C, the Eagles get an A? You're like, no, I didn't see that at all. So now he's playing a game. RJ, straighten this out. What should we believe here?
So Rick is also a big peruser of content in general.
Yeah. Avid.
Because he often will quote the look ahead to me before the show. So maybe he roped you in.
But don't lose the important part. I'm reading the look ahead.
Do you feel like you're getting something out of it?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting content right now.
Well, there you go.
Now, I'm confused, and I don't know if you feel the same way. How is that a C-level trade from the Jets? You get a legitimate star pass rusher who's at his best in the fourth quarter. He's the best that you have, and he's added to rotation, which is really good. How is that a C?
Because in their mind, you replaced a... For the Eagles, they replaced an older player in the last year of his deal with a younger player with similar production.
Yeah, I understand that.
No, that's their. I mean, that's the basis for why they got the better grade.
But a C? If you want to say Eagles get a B plus or a A minus, and the Jets get a B or B
plus.
Well,
here's the thing, though. I think you had an opportunity in their minds for a player that. I mean, I gave you the pass rush win rates yesterday. Bryce Huff actually has a higher pass rush win rate than Hassan Reddick does.
Right. Reddick better in the fourth quarter than Bryce Huff, though.
The thing with Bryce Huff was he's not an every down player. But, I mean, we also have Rich Cimini saying that he doesn't believe that Hassan Reddick's going to reach the 67.5%
right.
snaps to kick into the second
not
round.
Not because they'll play games with him, just because they'll need to play him to that extent. Right.
Right. So I think the argument could be made is that you have a homegrown player that's a younger player that you've developed that is damn good that you could have signed, and rather than sign him, you let him walk and you actually traded, like this was just money.
Right.
Now you trade a third, could be a second round pick, for a 30-year-old player that's on an expiring deal.
Correct. So you're playing the short game and not the let's think 5 years down the road.
And I also think it's part of it. I mean, I think I got to imagine that after seeing what Jermaine Johnson did from year one to year two, and then, I mean, a pick that a lot of people criticized when like, okay, defense is good. Why are we using a first round pick on another defensive player when we have to fix the offense? They drafted Will McDonald, that they want to make sure that he has the opportunity. Like Reddick sounds like he's going to be gone after the season.
Correct.
Now, he said he's open to anything contract wise, but there's no commitment to him past this season. So as Will McDonald tries to figure it out, you commit to Bryce Huff. It's for the next 3 years.
Right,
to Bryce
Huff. Now it becomes a duplicate player, right? Do I want Bryce Huff locked in? Will McDonald's on a rookie contract. Do I want to pay a ton of money to Bryce Huff? And then it's very duplicative, if that's a word.
Right, but people just have a hard time wrapping their head around, I mean, this is a player again. Like when you have really good players, especially ones like Bryce Huff that was undrafted, that you found, developed, and turns into a stud, why not keep him?
Yeah. I understand, but if the Jets had kept him, I wouldn't be saying it's a bad move.
No, okay, here's the other thing, though. You're going to have to pay Jermaine Johnson. You're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson. You're going to have to pay, like, there's other guys you're going to have to pay.
You're going to have to pay
Now, rather than commit long-term to Bryce Huff, we have a one-year deal for a guy that has the same kind of production.
That's right.
So,
Who's been there before, who's played in huge games.
Right.
Here is Hassan Reddick, happy to be part of this Jets D.
I'm happy to be around a group of guys like this, a talented roster such as this one. It's going to be fun, man. I don't think anybody's ready for what's about to happen, but it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fun to watch as well.
Boy, the Jets, they have a lot to say.
Well, he's being interviewed.
I understand.
Now, at least he didn't say we're going to be the 85 Bears.
That's good.
That was a misstep.
You didn't see that one coming?
No.
No.
No, that was a misstep. Listen, I mean, we look at the defense. I mean, starting with the defensive line, the linebackers, I mean, our corners. And now actually we have a functional offense that can actually sustain drives and score touchdowns.
You would hope so.
Oof.
I mean, there's the chance when you look at this team that they could be really good.
Well, they have to be really good. Not could be, they have to be.
Well, I guess. I mean, they have to be for this regime.
No, but it's like... It would be like if you approach this Yankees season going, this Yankees team could be good. No, this Yankees team has to be good. with all the questions after the season as to who's going where, if Juan Soto's coming back, like the Yankees have to be good.
I think there's more pressure on the Jets than the Yankees.
There is, but I'm saying like they're but it's not to the same degree as the Jets because of just. I mean, where Salah, well, I could also say the same thing about Boone and Cashman.
Yeah, no, I think there's pressure on Boone, but you're running out of time with the Jets. You have no time.
Right, but you're running out of time with Soto, too.
Potentially.
Right, but that's why there's a sense of urgency. We're going all in. We're going to make this move.
Listen, I agree with that. I just think with the Jets, it's like you need to win. There is
you
no...
You understand what's going to happen with the Yankees, though? If, for whatever reason, they flame out, they don't win a playoff series, and then Juan Soto signs somewhere else... What's going to happen with the Yankees fans?
They'll go crazy.
They'll go crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, you could almost argue that the regular season is, irrelevant is a strong word, but I mean, if the Yankees win 105 games and they lose in the first round to whoever, the fans are going to freak out.
Right, but I like your chances of potentially having like the whole we brought Juan Soto in knowing that this could be only 1 year Juan Soto, but wanted to have a head start on other teams that are going to be bidding for him so we can see how great it is to be a Yankee.
You see what the pinstripes are. See what playing with the Yankees is. We're going to win 100 whatever games.
He hasn't even played at Yankee Stadium yet.
Right. He hasn't even experienced the home crowd or the hometown or New York City or any of that stuff. You know it's not going to be too big for him.
Maybe, at the end of it, he realizes, I mean, if what happened, what you say just happens, 105 wins doesn't ultimately end up where they want to get to. He's like, okay, we got a great team here. We just won 105 games. Could you imagine what it would be like to win a World Series as a Yankee? Or he could think, I could get more money with the Mets, and then what it would do for me to actually win a World Series as a Met?
I don't know what his plan is, but it's going to be interesting to watch this thing develop.
Dude, I'll tell you what, though. Like, both would be great. You can make the argument on both sides. I think a lot of people would say, winning a championship as a Yankee because it's the Yankees, and they're the Yankees would be a huge deal. You imagine, like, you have an MVP kind of season, and carry this team through the playoffs to win a championship for the Mets?
That would be pretty remarkable.
They're probably going to get a statue.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be with the Mets, it's going to be it's going to be the first of 15 years. I mean, a long time. Yankees could be one and done. But I don't know. We'll see. Would you say right now it's one of those two teams? Or you think Dodgers can't be involved in that?
Well, the way that Ohtani has
they can't be involved in that.
Look at the players on that team right now.
They're good. I watched him for a little bit last night. That is a special team.
Right.
And Kershaw's hurt.
Yeah.
That is a special team.
Glasnow, what Betts they did this offseason.
Awesome.
Betts is awesome. I'm glad we picked him for NLMVP.
Freeman is awesome.
I would say that if you want to buy into kind of what you've heard, and who knows what's true and what's not, and the reason why we're kind of having this gap year where we're going to let the money for Scherzer and Verlander kind of get off the books here before we make our big moves. How could you not think that Soto was going to be the number one target?
It's got to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Yankees, quite the win last night. They're now 5-0. How about this tweet from Ty? Yankees put out a tweet that says, we're 5-0. And Ty responds, probably the best you've felt about this team since the 2022 playoffs. That's 1 year.
Yeah, he had some other tweet about Nestor Cortez or something like that, but I don't know. He says some stuff that just frustrates
me. Ty's feeling himself right now. Just let him be.
But he's one of these, my team's not that good, we have all these problems, and then when they start doing well, forget it. Now he unleashes himself over you.
I think his Nestor Cortez one was like, he stink. Like, why are we pretending like he pitched well? He stunk. It's like, dude.
I mean, stink.
He struggled early, then he figured it out. At least he gave you, I mean, at least, could you imagine what your bullpen would look like if you lost him in the first inning?
I wouldn't say he stunk. He kept you in the game enough that your bullpen pitching well was able to get over the hump with.
He's starting the first game of the season. When he wasn't, I mean, it was supposed to be, they asked Stroman, he said no.
Which is still remarkable to me.
And going up against, I mean, that lineup. I mean, stop it. It's game one.
It's game one.
It's unbelievable.
On the road in Houston. I mean,
on the road in Houston.
There's not a lot of tougher places to play.
No, against that lineup? Come on.
You see they had a no-hitter last night?
I did see that, yeah. Way to bounce back.
And a legitimate no-hitter.
Yeah, legitimate.
Like I think he only walked two guys.
Yeah. Way to bounce back.
Well, I don't even know who this guy was that did this.
It'd be nice if the Mets would bounce back like that.
That would be nice. We should give the gentleman some credit. What's
Minaya tried. I mean, he tried. 5 2/3.
Minaya was excellent. But that's a lot of pitches. I think he threw, 105 pitches or something last night?
That's tough early in the season, too.
105.
Blanco.
Yeah, Ronel Blanco.
Ronel Blanco. 9 innings, 2 walks. 7 Ks.
Doesn't take away from what he did, but might be the worst uniforms ever worn for a
baseball
no-hitter.
Uniforms now are
awful.
They are
horrendous.
Bad.
I mean, Fanatics has to do a better job. I think Fanatics has taken over the NHL jerseys, too.
Oh, they are. Yes, they are.
Have we seen what those are going to look like?
Not yet.
No joke.
But if baseball is any indication.
Let me explain to you why baseball is slowly dying. The two biggest sports this year going into the baseball season were the face of baseball might be gambling on sports,
right.
And you can see through the uniforms. Like, you can see guys junk through the uniform pants.
That's not good.
And the last names look ridiculous.
The Yankee
and the
uniform,
tiny little letters.
Those Yankee uniforms look... And when they sweat, they look awful.
Now, I kind of like the design to like make it look sort of like the throwback, the Mickey Mantle uniform.
The appearance is not bad, but when you perspire, which you have to envision the guys are going to do, they look horrendous.
The guy shouldn't look like he was soaked playing indoors in Houston.
Redon looked... It looked weird.
We're in a dome.
We're in March. Right. Imagine the dog days of summer.
What it's going to look like? They're gonna be sticking to them.
You imagine that though? Like, you have no idea going into like in the spring training, then you got like people at the game and you start sweating, and your dongers just hanging out of your baseball pants. Like, how awkward that would be.
Yeah, it's gonna be very odd.
And you don't even realize it.
Well, how could you not realize it?
Well, because you're not really paying attention. Like, how would you know? Like, haven't you seen like when the people go to like the award shows? And then you see the pictures, they don't realize that like the dress they're wearing is see-through until you take a picture of it, and it's like, oh, didn't realize that
was
happening.
You ever see the one, what's the actress? She was in American Pie. Tara Reid, I think that's her name?
Yeah.
Her bosom, she was at one of those.
It popped out.
Popped out.
A licky boom boom down.
It's
all about the delivery.
Yeah, but I think popping out is different than like you just.
No,
like,
but she didn't know.
She was like
waving to the people, and then somebody ran over and like covered her up. Bosom, bosom, bosom.
Tara Reid, also famous for Sharknado, Dave.
With Ian's earring.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like how Dave plays it off like he may not remember.
Yeah, right.
I think it was Tara Reid.
No.
I look at the picture on my phone that I took.
Right out.
My special folder.
Oh, but her bosom, it popped right out.
I see that.
Bosom, bosom, bosom.
2002 tax forms.
I forgot what her name was for a second. I'm familiar with her work.
She was very forgettable, clearly.
She was in American Pie.
Tax documents. Do not open. Very bland information here.
Nothing to see here.
Just popped right out. All right. Take a breath. Let's go to Dave in the car. Good morning, Dave. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. I heard you talking earlier about the pressure on the Jets to win. Who has the most pressure in New York to win? Let me ask you a question about the Knicks. We obviously like stepped in it with Brunson. And I judge players based on if you put this guy on another team, how much better they would be. He would elevate the game of every team in the NBA. Do you think that all the pressure resides now in the Knicks organization to actually bring in a big star to play with him? And if they don't, I mean, should we be looking at Thibodeau and in the organization, the GM saying, you can't sell anyone to come to New York and play with this guy? He's so great. It's like now we have a marquee player and we want to have another one.
But Dave, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, how would you, other than a player that watches how this team plays, watches how good Jalen Brunson is, how else are you selling? How is Leon Rose selling? You should come to New York.
Well, let me just say this. Let me just say this. I think that for a long time, we didn't have a marquee player to actually shoulder the burden it takes to actually perform and you know, the mecca of basketball, you know? And now we do. So now I feel like, okay, we've got another guy here. We've got another guy who needs another great player alongside of him. So this should be a much more, how can I say, doable,
attractive
task. It should be something, more attractive.
It is an attractive landing spot.
But you're also at the mercy of what the, I mean, whatever player you're talking about, if that player wants to come here, if that player's available.
The shame of it all is you haven't really seen the full complement of the Knicks.
In January, you did.
Well, for a minute, but you haven't gotten
you had a dominant month.
And they were great. That's great. What I'm saying. So I'd like to see this current incarnation play important games before I'm like, all right, you know what? Let's strip this down
guy. To his question, like, what else do you need to see from this team?
When they're healthy, they're a hell of a team.
Right, but what do you, I mean, every single team that plays against this team, I mean, you've heard Orlando's talked about it. Sacramento's talked about it. All the teams that played against this team are like, I mean, they're amazed at how good Jalen Brunson is. And on top of that, like just how hard and how physical, how resilient this team is.
And they rebound like their hair's on
right.
fire.
I think the concern for a lot of superstar players before was recognizing how hard it is to play in New York when your team doesn't meet expectations and you don't win. And that's do people really want to sign up to take that on alone? I'm going to go to this place by myself. And if we don't win, have to deal with the negativity. Or I can just, you know, come play at the Garden, show out, and then go back to whatever team that I'm playing on. I can imagine you come to the Garden now, and especially how good this team has been at home, and you see the way the crowd reacts to this team, and also knowing what it would mean if you could win, like for your legacy to win a championship as a New York Knick. How could you?
A lot of guys don't want to be in New York and be booed.
I can understand
when
before by yourself.
Well.
Like, I could understand before by yourself.
Yeah, but
we
as close
pieces.
As this team is right now, yeah, I think that's fair. Let's go to Ryan in Staten Island. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? First-time caller, long-time listener. I was calling about the book that Rick is reading.
Oh, the written porn?
It's not written porn. It's one little piece of it. There's a lot of sexual tension leading into this.
Right, obviously.
And then it erupts.
Right.
No, it gets even spicier. And even the second book, too. Oh, man, their powers start coming into play. It's really good.
Ryan, they say some graphic words in that first scene, no?
Oh, yeah.
Real graphic.
Really?
Yeah.
They never describe the girl, so it's, you know, it's up to your imagination.
Right. That's good. That's what I'm looking for. Really getting in depth with the guy.
No, they don't. She, because it's from the girl's point of view.
Uh-huh.
So she explains what's so attractive about the guy, but you don't really know how, like, can't really tell what she looks like. You can only imagine. Like, you know, she's got the... Like,
I need I like the visual.
You want to...
There's no pictures, are there?
No, it's not like
when you get to the middle part of the book, it doesn't have like the...
No. You want to act it out?
No.
Okay. You want me to bring the book in so you can read the couple pages?
I don't think it would work.
Why?
I don't think it doesn't move the needle for me.
It might.
I don't think so. Mm. But I like what you've done. I like how you've masqueraded this porno into like you're reading a legitimate...
It's a legitimate book.
No, sure.
I can't believe I did not even think if I mentioned this that anyone would have also been reading this.
Yeah.
I'm getting tweets about it.
Yeah, because people like porn.
But it's not porn.
You're reading
it's the best of both
graphic
worlds.
Literature.
No, it's the best of both worlds because I get a little, it's a little porn sprinkled in.
Mm-hmm. So it's like porn paprika.
I got a tweet right here. Fourth Wing was so good, they're trying to put a series together on Prime from what I've been told. That's what he said. See?
Good. That's great.
Big time reader I am.
Yeah, that's nice to see. All right, let's break. We'll come back. There is an undefeated and there is a defeated. We'll get to both on 98.7 ESPN. All right, now, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say... Woo-hoo!
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.